Let's pray for God's word. And Lord, we thank you for your word that's alive and well, and that you're going to speak tonight, and that you have something in store for everyone who's here. Doesn't matter. And Lord, all the distractions are gone. We thank you for your word. Speak to us. Fill us up tonight. Lord, let this be the night that will change people's lives because you're here. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 through 33. Now we'll read a little bit more here in a little bit. It says, sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. 2 Kings 6:25. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasts so long that a donkey head sold for 8 pieces of silver. And this is getting really disgusting. And a cup of dove's dung or poop sold for 5 pieces of silver. I've never been that hungry. Even with fasting, I've never been that hungry to eat bird poop. Verse 26. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, Lord the king." He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you." But then the king asked, "What is the matter?" She replied, "This woman said to me, come, let's eat your son today, and then we will eat my son tomorrow." That's getting pretty desperate. "Son, do you think we should do that with you? If we get that hungry?" "No. You probably taste a little funny." "And so we cooked my son and ate him. And then the next day I said to her, 'Kill your son so we can eat him.' But she hid her son." Verse 30. "When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And the king walked along the wall, and the people could see that he was wearing burlap under his robe next to his skin." Verse 31. The king says, "May God strike me, even kill me, if I do not separate Elisha's head from his shoulders. This very day," the king vowed. Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel when the king sent a messenger to summon him. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "A murderer has sent a man to cut off my head. When he arrives, shut the door and keep him out, and we will soon hear his master's steps following him." When Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived, and the king said, All this misery is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Verse 33. Let's jump down to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Elijah replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver. And 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't even happen if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." But Elisha replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." It's a desperate time in this nation. It's a desperate time because they're surrounded by the army, by a foreign army. As they're surrounded by the foreign army, here comes the famine that comes in because they couldn't go out and harvest the crops. They couldn't go out and harvest the wheat, and they couldn't go out and harvest the grapes. And so they had nothing. They were down to having no Nothing in the cupboard. The old, you know, old nursery rhyme. Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard. She opened the cupboard. What was there? Nothing. That's where they were. Absolutely donezo. There's nothing left in their country. That's how desperate the situation is. I don't know where your situation is, but the thing about it, you might be in that same situation. Maybe not in the situation of, well, we're getting attacked from all sides physically, but maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, maybe it is physically. Every time you turn around, it's something else. And you keep hearing the promises of God, and you're like, what? Why aren't I receiving those promises of God? And you're like, God, I don't like this situation. It really stinks. You ever been in that situation? You look around like, this really stinks? How did I get up here? A little backstory about the king that wanted to chop off the prophet's head. They believe he was Ahab and Jezebel's son. And according to the scripture of 2 Kings 3, 1 through 3, his name was Jeroboam, son of Ahab, the king over Israel at Samaria. In verse 2, it says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. So he put those things away. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who he had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. So this king wasn't the best. He didn't have the best influence. This king, his influence was his mom and dad. I don't know if you know anything about Jezebel and her husband. They weren't nice people. They wanted to take out the prophets of God. Because what? Unfortunately, there's times that you have to break away from what your forefathers done. You have to choose a different route. But when pressure comes, lots of times we go back to the things that have been ingrained in us. And so now we have this king. He's seen getting besieged all on every side. And he's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have nothing. And all of a sudden, he's walking. He's taking a stroll, checking out things. And he's looking out, and he can see the armies. He can see them sieged all the way around him. There's no escape. Nothing's working. And all of a sudden, a lady comes up to him and says, hey, king! Do you have some? What do you have for me? She was, hey, king, you ever been in a situation where people are trying to say, hey, I know you don't have much, but hey, I want just like another thing. Can you imagine you're the king of this area? You're ruling from this city. And your people are calling out to you. Hey, help us! And he's helpless. He's totally helpless. He has nothing to offer them. He goes, sorry, lady, I have no grain. We have not been able to go out and do our harvest. By the way, we don't have a harvest to harvest anyway because they took it. We have no grain that we went out to the threshing floor to do. We don't have the wine press running because we can't go grab the grapes. It's a horrible situation. So bad that they're now buying bird poop from one another. It takes a lot. Yeah, I used to own a couple birds. They went poop a lot, I understand. But it's just small little amounts. It takes a long time, it takes a while to get that amount. And he's like, I have nothing for you. But he goes, what can I do for you anyways? Maybe I can do something. I don't know. And then she goes on and tells her story. You ever been in that situation? Someone told you a story that you're like, oh my goodness, you're in a bad situation. And you're like, how did you? Because she's in this situation. She lost her son. And now she's hungry. Now she wants to eat something else. And now he's walking. And now he's mad at God. You ever been mad at God? You ever been angry with God? Like, God, you told us to do X, Y, Z, and it doesn't work out the way I want it to. It is not working out. I don't get it. I'm mad at you. You think about it. This gentleman's been sinning against God, and now he's really mad at God. He's like, oh, Lord, I'm not bad as my mom and my dad. I mean, at least I didn't try to take somebody's life yet. And all of a sudden, he's like, God, if the man that you sent to deliver us isn't with his head off by the end of the day, take my head off. Basically, that's what he's saying. See, sometimes God sends you people in your life that will tell you things that you might not like. See, this prophet here, Elisha, was in the camp of Elijah. Elijah trained him. And so he's seen the miracles of his. And as he saw the miracles, and when he saw Elijah taken up and the world went, he goes, God, if you want me to have what he has, but I want double portion, let me see it. And he saw it. And since then, he's been doing what God says. And now, you ever get in this situation, you're doing what God says, and people are not actually excited about it? No, a lot of times, like, wow, God told me to do this. This is going to be exciting. I'm going to have fun. This is going to be powerful. This is going to be amazing. You turn around, and people are like, yay, go. And you're like, come on, come with me. You know, you're all excited about it, and they're looking at you like, oh, that's not too exciting. You know? And it's so interesting, because we've got this leader. God sent him somebody to help him out. God sent him a man, or at this time, a man of God, to speak life, to change things. And then it's up to us how we want to receive what God has. It's up to us. See, instead of turning closer to God, he turned farther from God. See, in the midst of the situation, no matter what it is, we could either turn closer to God and say, God, help me. Or we can turn farther from God and abandon him. But guess what? God didn't abandon him. Guess what? God will not abandon you. He won't leave you just in your mess. He won't leave you there. He has a divine appointment. He has a divine plan. But so many times we want to stop it. We want to put an end to it because it's not fun. Being pressured and doing all the right things God's asking you to do and carrying them out. And all of a sudden you're like, God, I don't see how this is going to work. So he made a vow. He goes, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. If this man of God doesn't lose his head by the end of the night, deal with me. So he sent a messenger. He sent a messenger to knock on the prophet's door and tell him, come to me and I want to show you something. I want to show you my latest knife. I just got this new sword. Okay, I'm adding to it. I got this new sword and I want to show you it. I want to show you up close my new sword. And I want you to meet him. His nickname is going to be called Elisha. It has your name on it. I'm telling you, when it looks even more hopeless, God will give you a word. God will speak to you. God will give you a word for that moment. You don't have to be the most spiritual person. You don't have to be whoever. You just have to be you and be willing to hear from God. And God will give you a word through a song, through a message. Sometimes he'll just drop a thought, and sometimes it might be inaudible. But the thing about it, God will give you a word at the right time. And Elisha is sitting there with other people, and he goes, somebody's coming to my door. See, God will protect you at that right time and at the right moment when you think it's all lost, all done. Guess what? Elisha was not up on the wall worrying. See, the man who was against God, who opposed God, was up on the wall, who was worrying. He was fretting. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Guess what? The man of God was sitting in his room, in his house, saying, I know God's got this. I'm not worried because God's my source and nothing else is my source. Not the fields, not the threshing floor, not the grapevines, not the juice or whatever. He's sitting there. He's saying, I know God has me in the palm of his hand and he won't let any harm come to me. He knows that. See, when you walk with God, you can sit like it says in Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm. I sit in the presence of my enemies. You can sit in your, and the thing about it, it didn't say he was sitting there staring. Guess what he was doing? He was feasting. See, when the presence of the enemy, you don't have to go and worry. All you have to do is sit and feast. Feast on the word of God. Just sit and feast. You can kick back and say, my God's got this. It didn't say when the door knocked. He shut the door on him. The prophet Elisha shut the door on him. You have to shut the door on those who would love to talk negative about you, those who would love to talk bad about you. You shut the door on those things. Shut the door on those lies from the devil, because the devil will come in like a thief and he'll see an open door. And guess what he'll do? He'll just come in. Even if it's open just a little bit. This prophet man, he shows, shut that door. We're not going to let him in. Don't let even a sign of it. Don't even let a hint of it. He goes, guess what, guys? Shut that door, because the one who wants to take my life is on his way. Shut it. See, God will give you wisdom of what direction to go and where to stay and how to do things. And you'll say, I'm shutting the door on that, but I'm going that way. I'm going to sit in the presence of God because I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will take care of me. And when you're sitting in his presence, he won't just give you a word to protect you. He'll give you a word for other people as well. And not just for a word for other people, but he'll give you something to move you forward. You think about it. If you just gave him a word to say, hey, I'm going to protect you, he would just sat there. And he did for a moment. See, in a moment, God can change it all. In a moment, God can do amazing things. In that moment, you're sitting there and nothing else is working. I want to say sit there a little bit longer. See, the prophet said, or not the prophet, but the king said to the prophet, see if I can find it real quick. Why? Here he goes. Verse 33. While Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived, and the king said, "All this misery is from the Lord." Well, the Lord allowed it, but his actions caused it. And then it goes, why should I wait on the Lord even longer? Maybe you're at that point. Why should I wait on God even longer? Why should I keep praying for my lost loved ones? Why should I keep doing this? Why should I keep showing up to church? Why should I keep doing all these things? Why? That's what the king's asking. See, the world's going to be asking us, why are you still going to church? Why are you still paying tithes? Why are you still doing the things God asked you to do? It's not making a difference. Look, I'm better off than you are. The world will say that, but I guarantee you, if you keep doing what God tells you to do, you'll get further ahead than anybody else. I'm telling you right now, as this prophet was sitting there, and the king is saying, why should I wait on God? What has God done for me? Why should I trust God? Why? I prayed and nobody got healed. I prayed and nothing happened. But I'm telling you, you'll have a word for that person. You'll have a word at that right moment, and you'll say, I'm afraid to say it. I'm telling you, do not be afraid what God has placed on your heart, because he has a word for that person that you're going to come in contact with this week. Because you're one that God sent to that person who's ready to give up. God has called you to do that. But God can change the whole situation in a moment and within 24 hours. You think like you're sinking. You're thinking about that it's done. There's no more hope. But when you get a hold of the Word of God, when you get a hold of this, the Bible, and you put that into you, and when that Word of God comes, Rhema, like right now, right then, and it comes and says, that's what I needed to hear. That's going to get me through. That's the reason why we read. That's the reason why we pray. Because God has something. It's not just to take up time. See, Elijah had something. Why should I wait? Elijah, I love Elijah's response. Because, oh, by the way, the food prices will come down quickly. You'd be amazed. Elijah goes, hear the word of the Lord. This says the Lord, tomorrow by this time, tomorrow, the market of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver. That's a whole lot better than bird poop. I really believe so. You know? And 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. I think that's a better deal than what they're going through right now, where, you know, at the beginning of this, I mean, they weren't selling good stuff. It'd be like going and getting a toy car from the dollar store, and God says, by tomorrow, you're going to have a Lamborghini. You know? Or the dream car that you have. He's going to take you from this plastic little dollar store toy. And God goes, in a day, you'll have abundance. Because God's looking at your future. And he goes, I got something greater for you. And that's why he's telling the king. He's telling the king,
Because what, God has something greater than your mess that you made, the mess that you're in. I have something greater than what you presently are in. See, we as believers, we have that hope. We can give that to people. We can give that hope because it's from God and not from man. And as you're speaking it, the naysayer goes, no, it won't happen. He starts to mock God. The king's servant starts to mock God. Oh, well, they've got to open up the heavens. And like we heard in the past, like when Moses and them were out in the wilderness and they had quail and they had manna. Even if God did that again, the prices would still be high rocketing. That's what he's basically saying. That's what he's saying to them. But I'm telling you, be careful when God gives you a word and you encourage somebody. They're going to speak from the pain of where they're at. Why would God want to bless me? See, they'll say things out of the pain, which they have no clue what they're saying because of the hurt and the pain and the heartache that they walk through. They're having a hard enough time believing that God would actually receive them and accept them. And you're like, if God receives me, man, he can receive you, trust me. And so the thing about it, as he's walking, and this servant goes, there's no possible way. Not one. Not one thing's possible, what you're saying here. How can it be possible? Elijah didn't give him away. God only gave him a little bit. God only gave him, hey, this is what's going to happen. And then as the servant is basically stood up and started mocking God and said, there's no possible way. And all of a sudden, the man of God goes, Elisha goes, guess what? You will see it, but you won't participate in it. Can you imagine that? You'll see something, but you won't participate in it. Guess what? Within 24 hours, the word of God took place. He used the unlikely sources. As we fast forward through this part of the story, that was four leopards out in the fields. And they're like, hey guys, we're going to die. We're rejected by the city. And the army over here, they got some food. If we don't eat, we're going to die. So why don't we go grab some food from our enemies? See, the thing about it, God will use anybody anyway to accomplish his plans the way he sees fit. And sometimes it frustrates us. Because like, Lord, that's not the way I would have planned it. I would never use them. That's why he's God and I'm not. Because God doesn't eliminate people. He receives people. See, so God here, so we got these men out there. They had their little colony. They're like, okay, well, let's go to the army. Let's go to the army. And, well, if we die, we die. If we live, we live. At least we'll have some full tummy. At least we'll have food to give us strength. And so they went to the army. As they arrived, guess what? The enemy was gone. They were history. Adios, gone, nowhere to be found. And not just that, they left clothing and food and everything they owned behind. They were like, let's go. They were out of there. See, when the word of God comes and you respond to the word of God,
When you respond to that, they put God in motion. See, God won't move until you start moving. So many times we're like, well, Lord, I'm ready for you to move. And you're just sitting there. And God goes, well, do something. See if you trust me. Can you imagine the prophet? I don't know about you. You ever get something from God? And you know it's from God, but you're kind of scared to do it? I have many times. Because we're like, well, Lord, I don't know. But the prophet just shot off. He goes, well, this is going to happen. He did not tell him how. All he did was say what God said. And God moved miraculously. But yet naturally. See, God's a supernatural God that moves naturally, supernaturally. See, he didn't pour out the heavens. What he did, he used four people, the unlikeliest people at that time, who was caught between a rock and a hard place, literally. They were caught there and they had nothing to offer anybody. And they go, okay, Lord, we're going. And they went. And then they go, you know something? Wow, this is some good food. Wow, these are some nice clothes. I mean, they're not rags anymore. I mean, we don't have to wear rags anymore. I mean, we got some clothes on. We're looking good. We're styling. And guess what? They go, wow, we don't want to, I mean, this is more than we can handle. We want to tell everybody. And so they went in the middle of the night, while everybody's sleeping, they come knocking on the door. Let us in! They're like, no. They go, we got some goodies for you. We got some clothes. We got some food. And the people at the door goes, these people are crazy. You ever been blessed by God and you just tell everybody, oh, look what God did. This is awesome. And people looking at you like, you're weird. You're kind of crazy. And so they went off. And so they went there and they knocked and here they are. The people at the door at that night time says, we need to go tell the king. And the king, they wake up the king. I don't know about you, but I absolutely hate getting woken up in the middle of the night. That's not, that's probably one of my things I like the least. But I like my sleep. I really do. And I'm not really good company if I get a wake up in the middle of the night type thing. I'm better off just waking me up about 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, rather than 1 o'clock in the morning. But here's the king, get woke up in the middle of the night. Maybe a little grumpy. You know? It's like, hey, grumpy king, wake up. We got some good news for you. What's that? There's 4 weird people out at the door. They say they got food and clothes. Tell them to go home. I'm asleep. But the king gets up. Because you know something? I think this is a ploy to try to get us out of our security. And they walk. And so the king goes, let's send a few people out. Just send a little regiment. Just a handful of people. And so the king does. And as the king sends them out, they're finding exactly what these 4 other people told them. You'll find clothes and food everywhere. It's going to be a party. Bigger than New Year's Eve, bigger than Christmas buffet, bigger than the Super Bowl buffet. It's the biggest party you're going to have, biggest food. The biggest buffet you ever have. And then they come back to the king. And they go, king, guess what?
Those four weird people, kind of interesting. They weren't lying, they were telling us the truth.
So in verse 16 of chapter 7, make sure I get there. Yeah. Verse 16. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered Arminian's camp. So it was true that the 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver. 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord has promised.
You can take God's word to the bank. His promises are for you tonight. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you've gone through. But I'm believing tonight, when you leave, your situation will change. Not just your perspective, but your whole situation will change within 24 hours. If God can change a whole city's situation in 24 hours, can't He change your situation in 24 hours? Can't He take a blood disease or a tumor and twist that thing out and get rid of it in 24 hours? If He can do this, if He can feed a whole city, He can take your situation and turn it around. Because I believe a God who can do that in a moment. Our God is more than able to do that. We don't have to wait, because He could do it tonight. See, you might be in a situation where it seems hopeless. Or maybe you're in a situation where everything's great. But God can take your great situation and make it greater. I believe by the end of the week, you'll have the best week that you've had in years. I believe this week will be the one week where the Holy Spirit will move greater than you ever thought was possible. You see bills due, and God's going to bring in the finances to take care of them. You will see marriages or relationships that are on the rock. God's going to remove those rocks and bring them back into peace, back in the alignment what God has ordained. See, I believe a God who says that if it's in His word, He's able to do it in a moment of time. The thing about it, we could be like Elijah, believing that and speaking that over our lives, or we could be like the servant. I don't think God can do that. Well, I don't know about that. See, the thing about it is how we speak into our situation makes a big difference. If we speak life into it or death, this prophet, this servant says there's no possible way you can do that. There's no possible way a God that created the heavens and the earth can do that. There's no possible way. But I'm telling you tonight, there's a way, and God's going to make the way to do it, and you'll be amazed by it. Because God's going to bring the fire. God's going to bring what you need. Here in a few minutes, we're going to pray for people, because I can only do so much. Like the king, I can bring the word, but only God can touch you. Only God can move mountains for you. There's nothing I can offer besides God. Besides the Holy Spirit doing amazing things. And when you leave, you will look back in a month from now and you'll say, oh my, how life has changed. Oh my, how good God's been to me. And you'll look, you'll say, I'm no longer mad or angry, because I know my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's what? It's not based on your riches. Thank God it's not based on my riches, because I don't have that many riches. Thank God who owns all the cattle on the hillside, who created heaven and earth. He owns all the riches. Guess what? There's a scripture verse that says that he laid up the treasure of the wicked for the righteous. Guess what? When Moses left the bondage into the promised land, what happened to the Egyptians? They were plundered. Guess what? You're going to plunder things tonight, and you're going to be more rich with the things of God than you ever thought was possible. Not just spiritual, but physical, emotional, in every which way. You're going to be blessed. Because that's what God does. He doesn't just set you free. He doesn't just heal you. He blesses you above and beyond anything you can imagine or dream. Because his ways are so much better. You think about it. His way of doing this would not be my way. My way would have a lot more violence. A lot more battle scenes. Than the king and his people got some energy and got, well, all right, you know, we're going to take our last stand and we're going to go out and fight and take them out. But no, God spoke a word. God spoke the word and it came to pass. And God goes, I got it. I got it. Now I'm telling you tonight, God's going to give you a word for your situation. Not my word, but God's word. Because some of you are walking through stuff that's heavy. And you're ready about to say, God, I still trust you, but this doesn't make any sense. And to be honest with you, God, I don't like what I'm walking through. But I'm telling you right now, there's something about to happen. Something out of the ordinary. The Holy Spirit's going to touch you. As the Holy Spirit touches you, God's going to do works in you. He's going to do miraculous things. If you allow God to work in you and through you, you're going to be amazed what he's going to do in you. But don't be like the servant. Preacher, you got some good positive messages there. I'm glad that's good stuff for you. I'm glad that works for you, Pastor. I mean, you're looking good up there. Have you know what we've gone through for the first 20 days, or whatever it is? You're like, whoa. I'm telling you. His word works. One word. One word. That's all you need. And God's going to do it. But the thing about it is how you're going to respond. How are you going to respond to that word? See, I will deliver. I will pray. I'll be here until the Holy Spirit is done ministering. But I'm telling you now, God's about to do something. And some of you might have to push in a little bit harder. Some of you might have to stay a little bit longer. But I'm telling you, he's going to do it. How many of you believe that God can do it?
Amen.
I believe he's going to do it. Now, I hope he's going to do it. That's me like saying, I hope the Vikings win in the postseason. You know, or I hope a sports team in Minnesota does well enough to get a trophy. That's almost like false hope. But the thing about it, we don't have false hope in God. We have faith in God that he says it, it's done. And now we get to act on what's done. So we're going to sing a song coming up here. Then if you want prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Tuesday we take an offering for the guest speaker. But our guest speaker is not here tonight, obviously. But
either way, if you want to leave an offering for Anchor of Hope Church, that's the host church here. We use their facility throughout the year, Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and all these special services. They don't charge us extra to have special services or do anything like that. And if you want to bless them, that'd be fine. Drop it in the basket there, the plate, and we'll make sure it's good to them so they can be blessed. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to have some worship going, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to believe. I have faith that God's going to touch people tonight. I really do. And I'm excited that you all chose. I mean, you are truly the chosen frozen of Minnesota tonight. You are truly the frozen chosen. Because anybody in their right mind would say, you know, it's -8 degrees out. I'm not getting outside. But you're like, I want more of God. Guess what? We're going to get more of God. How's that sound? And as we do that, we're going to see great things. And so let's pray and let's see what the Holy Spirit has for us. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we pray, anoint people with oil and believe and declare and have victory and all.